Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, we're halfway home on a Friday. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Great to be here with you. I'm probably a little punchy today. I didn't sleep. I haven't slept well in the last two nights. I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting like 3 hours of sleep. It doesn't bode well for my mood and my health. And yeah, I'm just a little, I think I'm a little bitchy. Do I seem bitchy?
You look a little stressed.
Am I look a little stressed? Yeah. I'm not really that stressed.
You're not treating us poorly in any way, okay, I don't good. Think, which is nice.
I don't want to be a tyrant.
Don't take it out on your colleagues.
No, I don't want to be a tyrant in here at all. I'm just tired.
Maybe you need another vacation. The first five this summer just haven't done it for you, and you need a sixth vacation.
Literally not one of those was relaxing in any way, shape, or form. Like, yes, I got to do some cool stuff. None of them were relaxing. I have not felt relaxed all year. It's great to be here with you on a Friday. Get the Skipper Mike Show coming up at 9 a.m. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. Ben Higgins, your friendly, fancy neighborhood
and
sports anchor.
And your Friar Friday Skipper's Manager's Report with Mike Schilt, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925.
You know, this business, it's funny. I was telling the story earlier in the week of the painting that Gene Locklear, former Padre, it was like a charcoal drawing of a Native American boy holding a arrowhead knife. Cool. Really, really well done. One of our audience members reached out to me and said, Mr. Concierge, could you please handle the delivery of this painting if I drop it off and get it to Tim Flannery? Love Flann so much. Now, I know his family, my wife, and his daughter, Jenny, are really good friends, and they had birthday lunch for my wife yesterday. So I, San Diego's concierge, did what I did. I opened up the back of Hannah's car, and I put the painting in. I said, you're going to see Flann's daughter. Go ahead and take care of that for me. She goes, oh, God, okay, fine. Flann loved it. He was...
Okay, that's great.
He was over the moon about it. He's going to hang it at his ranch. He's elated about it. And I wanted,
which was, I'm sure, the idea of the tier
Deborah,
one who gave it to you.
I believe it was Deborah.
She was right.
Correct.
He really enjoyed it. You weren't sure. You thought maybe
I just what
am
you
I
never
just
know.
Foisting this upon him.
Correct. Because
but she was right.
Because things happen sometimes. Like in our business, we get a lot of stuff. You know, people will give us a lot of stuff. I'll show up to the station one day, and they're like, "Hey, this guy dropped off these tomatoes for you." I'm like.
That's a true thing. Story, by the way.
I've had oranges, bags of oranges left for me at the front desk. All of us, T-shirts.
Avocados.
It's great. You never know what you're going to walk into. But I will say, I've had
an old Navy football memorabilia.
I have walked into a shoebox full of old baseball cards as well. Maybe the kids would like to pick through these. Very kind gestures, all of them. You do get some interesting ones along the way, though. You really do. And, you know, for all the ones that make sense and you're like, oh, yeah, I was talking about this. Thank you. I will take that used sweatshirt that you wanted to give me. Thank you. You got one this morning that may take the cake, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
Well, I think with a lot of your requests, you at least understand the motivation behind it.
Correct.
And you're the conduit for someone who wants to do something, get something, give something. I totally get that. The request that I had waiting for me this morning was exceedingly simple, but
very
completely mystifying. So So there was an envelope sitting on the desk where I do the show from. And, you know, you get an envelope that's handwritten nowadays. You're a little trepidatious about it. You kind of shake it a little bit, like, what's in here?
Well, you're like, is this going to be a letter, like, ripping me or praising
right.
me? Or is it an old baseball card of a guy named Ben Higgins that played in the 50s?
You know, something like, in it that I don't even want to see. You've gotten right. those before. So, yeah, it was a little bit.
What, like old nudes of you?
You know, that Dodger fan who sent you.
Oh, the, yeah. You know. I got ransom letters
yeah.
from a
so
Dodger
I don't know.
Fan.
Is this hate mail?
Doo-doo on it?
Is there anthrax? I have no idea.
Right.
But I open it up, and all that's in this envelope is a yellow card with a post-it note and a self-addressed stamped envelope from Mike B. in Joliet, Illinois. And the post-it note simply said, Ben Higgins, can you autograph this note card for me featuring a 1984 Padres box score from the San Diego Union-Tribune? And here it is. It is a cutout from, you know, the agate page of the newspaper
yeah.
of the June 9th, 1984 game between the Cincinnati Reds, San Diego National. This is in the National League back
like
in the
it's
day.
It's in good shape.
Yeah, it's pasted here nicely to the card with the Ed Whitson was your winning pitcher, went 5 2/3 innings. Craig Lefferts went the rest of the way to get the save. Padres won it 12-2. Just ran away from those Cincinnati Reds. 3 in the bottom of the first. TK, our friend Terry Kennedy, hit a home run, as well as Greg Nettles as well. Easy victory. I don't remember this as being some sort of significant game. Obviously, it was on their way to their first ever division title, but I don't remember this as a particular game.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You didn't play in this game.
I did not play in this game.
You didn't broadcast this game?
I may have attended it as a child, but I don't remember particularly any specific
games. 9 years old?
9 years old.
9 years old. But he specifically wanted me to autograph it and then send it back to him in Illinois. I don't think that my autograph adds any value in particular.
How much value was there already?
I don't think there was that much value to it, unless it's like personal significance. But he didn't explain what the personal value...
It's definitely personal significance,
right.
I'll tell you that.
C20 Moreno. I remember that lineup like it was yesterday.
You want to hear the lineup?
Yeah,
all right, here's the lineup for the Padres. It's very small print here. Leading off, second baseman Alan Wiggins. Well, that's the closest to my name you're going to find on this
correct.
Box score.
Wiggins and Higgins.
Batting second, and because it's so small, they couldn't fit his entire name. Pinch hitter, first baseman, B-E-apostrophe-Q-U-A. I can only imagine that is one Kurt...
Bavakwa.
Bavakwa. Then batting... Well, actually, he came in as a pinch hitter for Alan Wiggins. So batting second then was Tony Gwynn, the right fielder, went 2-for-4.
Heard of him.
2 runs batted in, 2 runs scored. Batting fourth, pinch hit for Tony
Gwynn. You're crushing this, by the way.
Well, the way they do it nowadays...
Sound like a regular Don Arcillo.
Nowadays, they indent the pinch hitters, but back then, they just listed them all.
What's the date?
June 9th, 1984.
Yeah, just pull it up on your computer, Paulie.
Batting fourth, Greg Nettles, the third baseman, then Steve Garvey at first base, Tim Flannery at second base, Terry Kennedy behind the plate, Kevin McReynolds out in center field, Carmelo Martinez in left field,
Gary Templeton,
your shortstop. You found it.
And then Mario Ramirez was a pinch runner for Tempe, and Ed Whitson, like you said.
So, Dub J says, I don't think he wanted your signature. I think he wanted... maybe you to take it someone that was on that team, concierge Ben. No, he specifically...
That would make more
sense to me. Would if he said,
hey, you know Flannery, can you go get this?
You know Bavakwa,
yeah. Tempe, TK.
I mean, we do. But no, it specifically asked me for my autograph. Can I have your autograph? There was no one else mentioned, so...
Mike in Joliet, Illinois. If you're
listening.
Maybe watching on YouTube.
Or call.
Give us a call.
I
want to crawl in...
Tier one. Maybe they're not.
I want to crawl inside his head.
833-288-0973.
Hannah says, did he mean to send it to Mud? No.
Because he's from Joliet?
It was named, it said on the, I saw the envelope too, Ben Higgins, 97.3
The
Fan.
It didn't look like there was any misprints. So, here it is. I will be sending it back.
Here's the thing I love about Mike B. and Joliet. that wouldn't happen if somebody did this to me. They wouldn't send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. I would have to then go home, lick the thing, go find a stamp, go and mail it. This is all dialed in. All you have to do is put in the outgoing mail here, and you're good to go.
That's it. I'm good to go. It's one of the easiest tasks I've ever been asked to do. I just have no idea why.
What is he going to do with this?
No.
Why you?
I mean, it's on.
Why you?
Is it going to book somewhere?
Was that his favorite game? Was it maybe the first game he ever went
like
to?
Tony Gwynn Jr. even would have made
Tony
more
Gwynn
sense.
Jr. His dad played in the game. He got two knocks that day.
It'd make a lot more sense.
Huh.
He didn't say, can you go get Tony's autograph?
No.
He wanted Ben's autograph. Signing autographs is the. Who would want my autograph? Anytime I've ever signed a ball, I'm like, I don't understand this.
No, you really don't want this.
You don't want this. It just is the weirdest thing. This is weirder than anything I've ever seen.
Remember somebody at FanFest this year asked us to sign the back of their Padres jersey next to the Fernando Tatis Jr.
I couldn't believe it. It made me sick.
No, you do not want this. He's like, no, I need all three of you guys. And we're like, no, you don't want this. This is going to diminish the value of this jersey. And then he goes, oh, is that Adam? Can he sign the jersey too? And I go, well, now you might as well burn the jersey. Like, now you've completely destroyed it.
Is it a scam?
Fine.
You have my signature now, like Randall Stevens, and the signature on the card was a spot-on match. Gotta go drain all my accounts and go to Zay Watanejo.
I don't understand it even a little. I don't understand it even a little bit. It's such a random box score that he took the time to obviously
and has held on to for 41 years,
dude. And then on the back. Even weirder, it says at the bottom of the card, Ben Higgins, and there's all these scribble marks
on the back of it
that look like they were made by my four-year-old. And it says Ben Higgins at the bottom.
It does. I forgot about the back.
And it's very, very strange. So, Mike B, it's on the way. It is on the way. But it's one of the weirder requests I think I've ever seen.
OMG
ever
serial
seen.
Killer. Yeah, the back is definitely...
It's very weird. The back's the best part.
We're kind of just scribbling.
Kind of glossed over the back.
Just like he's sitting there going...
Show it again to the big screen. You're on the big screen now. Just...
What the hell?
Yep.
And at the bottom it says Ben Higgins, written very sloppily. Wow. I wish I understood why, Mike, if you're listening. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah,
he did
it
for
Happy
you.
Happy to do it. Happy to
go
do it.
Go ahead and put it in there so it's safe.
All right.
Is it going to fit? It seems ill-fitting.
I think he's planned it just exactly right.
It's BTK. the BTK killers.
Yeah, that's
sending that stuff. Yep. Lick it up. Real good. Seal it tight. It's
good
all dialed in. Yeah. You need to write a return address on there or no? Will they mail
I will not be writing a return address on there.
Put the station's address.
That's true.
So if you guys
want it back though,
here's a new bit. If you guys have any garbage around your house you want Ben to sign, just send it on over. He'll sign it and send it back to
Tyler.
You.
Ben keels over after licking the envelope.
Oh yeah, he's like. Ah! Well, at least you went out on top with a really fancy meal last night at Lilo.
Lilo.
Yeah, it would be a nice final meal for you.
It would be.
Yeah,
that would be the best final meal I think I could have possibly imagined.
Tyler, I actually didn't think about him licking that envelope. There could be doo-doo on there. You have no idea. Are you feeling okay?
Still feeling okay.
Now he has your DNA. Ben Higgins arrested
done.
For murder in Joliet. I've never even been in Joliet.
Is this your signature?
Your DNA is all over this crime scene, sir. Oh, my God. Well, listen, Mike, if you're listening, I have to know. I have to know why. I have to. It's gonna haunt me.
The why is
so
nag at me for at least a while.
For sure. It's pretty brilliant. Pretty brilliant stuff.
All right, coming up this hour on Ben and Woods, we have our last chance this week to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas to see the Eagles at the Sphere. We'll play a little take on Woods coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, we're heading toward 9 o'clock and the manager's report with Mike Schilt. Paulie's going to have some headlines as well in the Rindle Report. Talked a little bit about Thursday night football game yesterday and more coming up. And we haven't really gotten into the rest of the baseball. I wanted to mention, we have been treating the Padres season as though the NL West race is over. And while it is not mathematically over, The Padres, with the Dodgers winning last night, 2-1. Well-pitched game last night.
God,
even their bullpen came through. Dominant performance.
Yamamoto, I watched a little bit of it. He's ridiculous.
He's so locked in right now.
He's ridiculous.
The Padres are now 3 games behind the Dodgers with 9 games remaining. And they don't have the tiebreaker, so they need to outplay the Dodgers by 4 games.
Right.
What's a reasonable record for the Dodgers for these last 9 games? Let's say they struggle. 4-5?
5-4, 4-5.
4 against...
They got 3 more against San Francisco.
I think if you're lucky, they go 5-4 or 4-5.
Right.
Which means your only path to winning the division would be 9-0 or maybe 8-1.
Wow.
And 8-1 might not be good enough. If the Dodgers go 5-4, 8-1 is not good enough. You need to go 9-1.
And to go 8-1 or 9-0, you're emptying the tank. It's Mason Miller for 5 outs. It's Robert Suarez for 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like going into the playoffs, like, cool, 9 games, we're exhausted.
And if the Dodgers win 6, you have no chance at all.
Correct.
That's their magic number to clinch the division. And by the way, you don't know until if you're going to get close until the end. So you may be, you know, pursuing it fruitlessly in vain. It really makes a lot more sense at this point. And we can try to talk to the skipper about it. I don't know if he'll want to, you know, entertain such notions, but
right.
It makes more sense just accepting your kind of fate.
Yes.
Heading toward a wild card series and doing everything you can to get in the best position once you get there.
And that sounds so dire. Like, yo, you got to accept your fate. Like you're going to the playoffs. You know, you're going to go to the playoffs and you're going to have a chance to win the World Series. And I think it's certainly been lost on many fans. I think myself included at times this season, but you know, now I'm fully resigned to playing in Chicago in 10 days. Just fully, fully resigned and getting my...
Yeah. I mean, could the Dodgers go 0-9? I mean...
Yes, anything is possible. Anything on the planet.
But you would be very foolish to, like, think that that's a realistic, you know, possibility going forward. The Dodgers aren't going 1-8 in these last 9 games.
I don't think so either.
So, you know, you're probably fruitlessly chasing if you're trying to chase the division title at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, start calling in. We will play some Take on Woods last time this week and try to qualify our fifth. I think we had our fifth yesterday on Real or Fake, so maybe our sixth grand prize finalist for the Sphere Las Vegas and the Eagles. We will do that coming up next after a check of traffic with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan. As you're getting ready for your weekend, though, make sure you download your Prize Picks app to start playing daily fantasy alongside me and millions of other users who have found Prize Picks to be the way they love watching sports and winning real money just by being right. You watch a ton of sports, you kind of know what's going on at this point. You can use that knowledge by setting lineups every single day with 2 to 6 players with stat projections from football, baseball, any other sports you're watching, and win real money with Prize Picks. Make sure, though, you take advantage of the opportunities they give you. The max discounts, they call them. They're the squares, the lineup entries, where it's really hard to lose. Like this weekend, if you pick Patrick Mahomes over more than 0.5 passing yard, put that in a lineup, and you can win big simply by watching football, which you're probably going to be doing anyway, or college football on Saturday. They've got lineups all weekend long, even in-game lineups, like live lineups that you can change at halftime, second half, anything. It's all going on with Prize Picks. Just make sure when you download the app, you're taking advantage of the offer to get $50 when you play your first $5 lineup by using the code KWFN. So you put $5 in of your own money, they put $50 in of their money to get you started with Prize Picks. Just make sure you use the code KWFN when you sign up to play it your way. Prize Picks, where it's good to be right, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got the manager coming up at 9 o'clock. We got a Rondo report at the bottom of the hour. But right now, last chance this week to qualify for the big trip to Las Vegas, the Eagles at the Sphere. Let's play Take on Woods. Take on Woods brought to you by Bay Alarms, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you and we got John today. Good morning, John.
Morning.
You excited?
Yes, I am.
I would be too. You're having an opportunity here to qualify for our grand prize trip for Las Vegas for the Sphere, the Eagles on January 30th. Two-night stay at the Venetian Resort, a Vibe VIP package, and a $100 gas card. If you're interested out there in seeing the Eagles in concert, their residency continuing through 2026. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. But you can win them. It's not easy. You got to take on Woods in our musical trivia challenge. Five questions. But you get to pick our category. So here are your choices today, John. We've got the mystery category. The two-second song is a one-word title, and that word will then appear in all other four answers. We've got an eye for an eye. All two-second songs with the song title ending in the word eyes. And our new category, once is enough. Five song titles include the word once in the title. So, mystery category, an eye for an eye, or once is enough. John, what'll it be?
Eye for an eye.
An eye for an eye. All right, we're going music today. Five two-second songs. What do they all have in common? The last word of the title is eyes. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of them as you can. If you don't know one, you can say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. Remember, to score the point, you need to give me that song title and the artist. That's the only thing that gets you the point, both of them together. John, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. The category, an eye for an eye. Your time begins when Paul plays the first song. Good luck, John. Let's take on Woods.
In Your Eyes, Peter Gabriel.
Correct. Song number two.
Betty Davis, Eyes, Kim Carnes.
Correct. Song number three.
Private Eyes, Hall & Oates.
Correct. Song number four.
Hungry Eyes, Eric Carmen.
Correct. And song number five.
I've been watching you for some time.
Not that one.
Not that one, but you got the first four. You want to think about it, or you're pretty much...
Tough.
That was a newer one. That's always a little bit tougher. All right.
All right,
four out of five is not bad, and it may be good enough in this game. The one you did not get... That was Ocean Eyes by Billie Eilish. I think that one might trip up Woods as well. Not sure he's going to get all four of them. I think, John, that might be enough. Hang on. We'll see how Woods does. He doesn't get the category. It's all 2 second songs today.
Okay.
Let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on John.
Oh, In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel.
Correct. Song number two.
Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes.
Correct. Song number three.
Private Eyes by Hall & Oates.
Correct. Song number four.
Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen.
Correct. And song number five.
I've been watching you for some time.
I don't. Let me think.
People in the chat got it. Can Woods come up with it?
The Eyes of Your Taint by Lana Del Rey.
No, so and we've got a 4-4 tie.
Damn it!
You played the exact same game as John. He also got tripped up on Ocean Eyes by Billie Eilish. Very pretty song, actually. But the new stuff gets you. And John, you have qualified for the trip to see the Eagles at the Sphere. Congratulations.
Very nice.
Paulie will get your information during the break. And for everyone in the chat who is going, Ocean Eyes, Billie Eilish, congratulations to all of you.
Damn
as
it.
Well.
Sounds like a great song. I don't know that I'm familiar with
not
that,
that one.
One?
No. Right. Paulie, you know that one, right?
I have heard that one, yeah. Yes.
Pretty song. Very pretty.
I don't know that I would have got it on the spot playing the game. But,
yeah. I mean, you knew that it had to end in eyes, right? You figured that part out?
I like Billie Eilish. I don't know. I haven't, dove in, really.
All right. Paulie's going to do a little early Rindle report since we have Mike Schilt coming up at the top of the hour. Are you putting in one of the most unusual heists? We were talking about it. We finally get to it today.
Yes, okay. Missed it yesterday. Very random heist, and want to talk about a college football player that is older than Woods and you.
All right.
I'm a fan.
We'll get to all of that coming up next. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continuing on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. Right now, though, this time of year, things can get pretty dicey in San Diego. When the winds kick up, when it gets hot, the brush gets dry, wildfires can devastate our community. There's sometimes nothing you can do to prevent them, but there are some things that, SDG&E can do. And when the winds get high, they can call for a public safety power shutoff to try to prevent those wildfires.
It makes me very nervous this time of year, every single year. So we have to do our part, right? And obviously SDG&E doesn't want to cut your power. They do it because they want to keep you safe. So you need to have an emergency kit, a plan, and make sure they have your most up-to-date contact information. Should they need to contact you in case of an emergency, this is preventative, guys. Just to make sure you're covered. Sign up for outage notifications at sdge.com/notify or download the alerts by SDG&E app. Being prepared is all of our responsibility.
You're probably wondering, how do they decide, right? Are you wondering that?
I know that it's not random.
No, it's not. They have a team of meteorologists who forecast 10 days in advance. They refine their forecast, and then as you get closer, you'll start getting alerts up to, 1-2 days in advance, and you'll also be notified when the power goes back on, so hey, I can go back to the house and get back to life as normal, but you won't know unless you see it coming. Make sure you go to sdgne.com/notify and download the alerts by SDG&E app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I always like to lean on your English major sometimes. One of my favorite quotes attributed to Mark Twain, although I don't know if he actually said a lot of things were attributed to Mark Twain. There are three kinds of lies. Lies, damned lies, and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a quote that definitely tells you that numbers can be used to mislead. And, they can be you can throw a ton of numbers at someone. It's hard to actually glean any truth out of those numbers. But one of our tier ones in the chat, Jimmy Jam, was expressing some doom earlier that the Padres have not been able to beat the good teams in baseball. And I think we all kind of feel like that is true.
Sure.
If you look at their record against teams with winning records, especially on the road, it's not good. But I can throw stats at you. I can tell you factually that the Padres are 500 or better this year against every National League playoff team except the Dodgers. And, Jimmy Jam came back at me and said, well, how about the second half of the season? The Padres are slumping next season, In the second half of the season, Padres have played, here's the teams they've played that have winning records. They swept the Mets. They took 2 of 3 from the Diamondbacks. They took 2 of 3 from Boston. They swept San Francisco. They got swept by the Dodgers. They took 3 of 4 from San Francisco. They took 2 of 3 from Los Angeles. They lost 2 of 3 to Seattle. And then they lost 2 of 3 to Cincinnati and lost 2 of 3 to New York. So they have actually a winning record and have won more series in the second half against winning teams than they've lost.
Jimmy Jam's not wrong, though.
It
does feel that way.
I can throw the stats at you and tell you the Padres have have had a winning record against teams with winning records in the second half. They've won more series than they've lost. They've done adequately against the playoff teams in the National League. Have they dominated playoff teams? But no one does.
What's killed us is the record against bad teams. That's what's killed us.
In the second half, the record against bad teams has gotten much worse.
We beat up on the bad teams early.
Yeah, they lost the 3 against Baltimore, the 2-3 to Minnesota. That was, you know, that was punishing. They lost 2-3 to Miami earlier in the second half. They've actually dominated against the bad teams in the first half. They played better against the good teams in the second half. Now, the last two series against the Mets and the Reds haven't been their best. And, you know, so if you want to say the trend is going poorly, you can, but it's such a long season. Trends could change. Trend could change next week, you know, and you really want the trend to change and go upward when you get to the playoffs. So, you know, you throw all these stats out there and you can't really draw conclusions as to whether the Padres are going to be good or bad in the playoffs. We just don't know.
You just don't know.
At this point.
I know I'll be watching. Yeah. And I know I'll be into
it. Now Jimmy says, makes me feel better hearing some of these stats. The thing is, it really shouldn't.
It shouldn't, right?
You know, my stats are not really that relevant when it comes to the playoffs, and unfortunately.
I said to Jimmy Jam, I said, what if we go sweep the White Sox? Is everyone breathing a sigh of relief? I'm really not. It has no bearing on what we do.
What if they sweep the Brewers, though?
Right.
They took 2-3 in Milwaukee. That was the hardest series they had all season, and they won that one. I don't know.
What are the Brewers doing? Are they going for 100 wins? Or are they like, we're not going to burn these dudes out right now? I don't know. Nobody.
Once they're locked in, what do they have to go?
Right. What are you playing for? You know, so
100 wins doesn't get you anything.
100%. That's right. Gets you nothing.
If 90 wins gets you the number one seed, then
take it.
So be it.
Yeah, you take it. I'll watch the games this weekend, but I won't be living and dying against the Chicago White Sox. I just won't. I'd like to see some guys I'd like to see Ryan O'Hearn get some knocks this weekend. He is dying.
Try to get him on track.
Get him on track. 100%.
I mean, you just look at the top teams in baseball. I mean, are the Mariners, are they really, really good? They have 84 wins. The Padres have 83. The Tigers have been great. They have 85 wins. The Padres have 83. The Red Sox have 83. The Astros have 84. The Dodgers have 86. I mean, in a long season, you know how much difference there is between 86 and 83 wins? Nothing, really. Statistically, in 162 games, that's nothing. That's all these teams have flaws and strengths. They will match up in the playoffs and see whose flaws and whose strengths win out in October.
Jay said, we need to be crushing this team, the White Sox or the Padres? I don't know. I'm assuming he means the White Sox. If you crush the White Sox, it does not guarantee you that you're going to go in and win a playoff series. It just doesn't.
No,
and if you get your butt kicked,
it doesn't mean you're going to lose.
Yeah. It's the dumbest thing. And you got to kind of lean on history here as it pertains to the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's check traffic. Paulie's going to give us some Rindle Report headlines on the other side next here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Happy Friday, gentlemen.
Happy Friday.
We can touch on Thursday Night Football last night. We previewed the game NFL threesome. Bills and Dolphins. Dolphins were 0-2. Bills were hosting the game. They were 2-0. The spread came into effect. I believe it was 11.5 at the start of the game. Bills favored by 11.5. They won by 10.
It wasn't a backdoor cover either. Miami kept it close.
They kept it very close.
They played with the Bills. Moral victory.
Ooh.
Yeah. 0-3. Hard to make Miami fans happy. But
Tua threw for 146, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Driving down to potentially tie the game, moving the ball pretty well, and followed his eyes, they said on the broadcast, and
the linebacker
jumps him. There's the Tua pick that you can almost count on almost every single game. It's a rough watch, man, and they're now 0-3, and firmly implanted in the chamber.
You've seen Josh Allen's had to wear
the visor.
The visor because of the shot he took to the nose. And he says it's not really not uncomfortable, but it gets kind of loud and echoey and hot in there.
I bet.
He just gets used to that part of it.
I loved what they said on the broadcast.
Like an astronaut.
They said he wore it when he was at Wyoming, and they said he wore it because it, quote, looks swaggy. And then he got to the league, and he's like, well, I'm not going to be the swaggy-looking quarterback. I don't want to get my ass kicked by the veterans. So he took it off, and they had to put it back on again. Great game. Great product.
Game.
The NFL is really, as they do.
I forgot about it in the first half, like when it started, and then we did our member stream with Z, and then I got back and I was like, oh yeah, there's football still on.
It was good.
Like the end of the third quarter and all the
primetime games this year have all been pretty decent so far.
Really have,
no real turds, I don't think.
Nope, not yet. Give it time. There
not
will be.
Too bad.
Yeah.
All right. I guess one quick note also in the NFL before I get to our next story. Page Six is reporting that they believe, their sources are saying, Adele could be the front runner for the Super Bowl halftime show in San Francisco, with Bay Area, next February.
Who did I think it was? I thought they had already.
They haven't announced it officially yet.
Jelly Roll.
Well, everybody thinks. I think Taylor Swift is the favorite.
Taylor Swift was the favorite. That's
Metallica has gotten a lot of play.
The Bay Area band.
Miley Cyrus's name has been thrown out there, and now Page Six saying Adele has been in very close talks with the NFL and Apple Music to host that. But it should be coming here in the next, like, week to 3 weeks, somewhere in, like, early to mid-October, I think, is when they usually announce the Super Bowl halftime show.
I'll say proudly, I'm an Adele fan.
I also...
I am. I don't know that she would do for the halftime show, though.
I can't imagine, like, big pyrotechnics and, you know, hundreds of dancers with the kind of songs
that Adele sings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it be a beautiful concert? Would I be there for it? Sure.
A beautiful medley of sad songs?
It would have to be very different than the normal production of a Super Bowl halftime show, though.
I agree.
I mean, when it's you're talking to, like, Metallica or Adele.
Give me Metallica.
Two very different.
Or both together.
Oh, now you're talking.
It's kind of what they used to do, at least.
Yeah.
They used to have a lot more.
Stick that. It's boring. It is kind of, it's boring. Boring, I think. But yeah, very talented.
If she can get those pipes going on, like, a good stadium speaker, and it's San Francisco. It's a brand new stadium, so I'm sure they get a good sound system.
Oh, yeah.
It'd sound awfully good.
Finally, or not finally, but next story here. I told you there is a college football player older than both of you guys. This guy was going around viral this week. Division III college, Lycoming College.
What is it?
Lycoming.
L-Y-C-O-M-I-N-G.
Lycoming?
Lycoming.
Okay. Lycoming College.
Where is this?
Lycoming.
Where's Lycoming College?
Where is Lycoming College?
I don't know.
I'm surprised.
Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
What's their mascot, Ben? The Lycoming...
They're the Warriors.
The Warriors. All right, makes sense.
Colors are blue,
maybe the Trojans.
Yellow, and gold. Anyways, they're in the news.
Okay.
You just got it?
Jesus. Here's the social media post from Front Office Sports, legitimate outlet. They said Division III Lycoming College has a 58-year-old freshman defensive lineman in the 80s. His name is Tom, I think it's C-I-L-L-O, Chilo?
Okay.
Tom, in the 80s, quit high school football to do drugs, that's all it says. That alone is hilarious to me. Just quit high school football to do drugs.
Why are you quitting, Tom? Drugs.
Drugs. I gotta go do drugs. Then he worked for a city's streets and parks department for over 30 years.
Okay.
And he is now fulfilling his dream of being a college football player. Still got that eligibility. And he is playing Division III college football.
On the line.
Lineman.
He looks tough.
Let me see.
Yeah, we got him.
6 foot, 227.
I'm not messing with that guy.
But yeah.
That guy's got some old man strength.
Bro, there is no question.
Shoving these 19-year-old
kids. Look at his big-ass arms and legs. Look at his calves.
He's a big dude.
He matches yours.
He's the only offensive lineman in college football who smells like aqua velvet.
Oh, no doubt. Thomas Sillo. Man, what a badass.
Remarkable.
To do drugs. Just, why'd you quit?
Not like fell out of love with the game, had to go to school for, you know, start his career.
My dad got sick.
Yeah, nothing like that. Just quit to do drugs.
That's incredible.
And now he is living out his dream. Any chance you could play any sport, Division III, at age 58.
Ben could play golf, Division III.
I could play golf, today. Yes. I would be bad compared to the kids
would
nowadays.
You?
Oh, they hit the ball so,
yeah, they hit the ball so far. No, I couldn't.
Be like 120 yards behind everybody on every hole.
I couldn't hang at any sport, even in Division III. I could go. You know, I could go play an inning at first base. I wouldn't embarrass myself, but I couldn't hit at that level. I don't think at Division III.
I think
they'd probably throw too hard. And have too much good stuff.
I think so.
But yeah, good for that guy, man. That's badass.
Finally, wrap up the story. The very bizarre heist in Florida earlier this week. Florida man at it again. This happened at Disney Springs. That's in Orange County, Florida. And it's one of the Disney parks. They have this restaurant on the man-made lake or pond called Paddlefish. Kind of looks like the old, the steamboat or houseboat, you know.
Big Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat
loves
Willie.
The steamboats.
You can have brunch, lunch, dinner, whatever. They have patio seating, etc. And according to the report here, a man snuck into the restaurant by scuba diving. He had all his equipment and gear and scuba dove under the restaurant and got inside. Was able to hide his scuba gear, tuck it away. There were employees counting money in the office after they had closed, and he said he'd like tied them up and stole between $10,000 and $20,000 in cash.
That's quite terrifying.
And then got back a nice seafood dinner in cash anymore.
Got back in his scuba gear, swam out from underneath the restaurant, and
this
has
makes
been
no
missing.
Sense.
Got away.
This makes no sense. If he was going to go in and presumably had some sort of weapon to threaten them and tie them up, why not just walk in at that point? Why go to all the trouble of scuba diving in? This isn't a bank heist. He didn't need to get into the vault. Presumably, you just walk right into the restaurant, go back to the back, and then pull your gun
steal
and say,
the money.
You know, get in the corner. I'm taking all the money. Why scuba dive in?
Surreptitiously. You're coming in surreptitiously. It's the element of surprise.
Just to avoid the alarms that you set off when you
want to pull a Mission
Impossible. Pretend you're going to the bathroom and you got confused and you ended up in the money counting. Why is there a money count? This is a restaurant, right? This is a fish restaurant.
They got $20,000.
It's not a casino.
It's wild.
$20,000. That means probably
$10,000
to $20,000
is what
you
they believe.
You scuba dive in, like
80%
so you can scuba
of their
dive
customers
out.
Are paying cash? At a restaurant in the year 2025 at Disney, when everyone's on vacation,
tell us
they're
more.
Just bringing massive amounts of cash.
Tell us more about how you would have robbed the steamboat.
Don't know.
Just not easy, like Danny Ocean.
All right, Shilty, next.
Manager's report. Don't go away. Ben and Woods, last hour of the week on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.